cities. In France, the revolution has torn down the old order. In London, Lucy Manette and Charles Darnay are 6 months married. Sydney Carton has taken to visiting Lucy Darnay, the woman he might have dared to love if he'd been a better man. Dr. Manette is fully recovered in his mind, and Mr. Lorry, as usual, spends his days at Tellson's Bank, that citadel of finance, not to be shifted by anything short of Armageddon. Certainly not by time, nor events in this city of London or in that other city.
Paris.
You've heard then, Charles.
You've heard too, Mr. Lorry. How is this? Well,
how could it not be, since I am intimately concerned in the matter?
You?
My man, of course, me.
But I...
You?
Me?
Why?
Why what?
Charles, you are as a son to me, but I swear, if you do not make yourself clear, why are you going to Paris?
Why are you going to Paris? You are going to Paris?
I'm to handle the bank's affairs in that benighted city, obviously. But you are not a banker, Charles.
I go in answer to a plea. But I am concerned, sir, should you be going at all at such a time?
Where the bank sends me.
But were you the youngest man at the bank, I would still advise you strongly against such an adventure.
Charles, Tellson's employees do not have adventures. Adventures are frowned upon at Tellson's. Besides, they have far more to concern themselves with over there than old English gentlemen. Young French aristocrats, for one. What is this plea?
My uncle's old steward, Gabelle. He has been put in prison in that city. He got a letter out. Certain mutual acquaintances made sure I received it.
You renounced everything, all of it, Charles. The estate, the name.
And yet...
You have a wife, man. You're hardly 6 months married.
I've talked with Lucy.
Yes, Lucy.
None of us is new-minted every day. We all of us carry the past and the responsibility of the past as our burden. The first time I talked to Lucy, I told her I could be a little pompous. I haven't really changed. But you know what I mean, Mr. Lorry. Please say you do.
These last years, Dr. Manette, dear Lucy, and you too, Charles, even Miss Pross, God bless her, have brought me something I never thought I would have. Damn it to perdition. I do know what you mean. And I say, if you must go...
And I must.
Then let us go together. At least there may be some protection for you with a British citizen by your side.
I can't ask you to take such a chance.
Perhaps your English is not as perfect as you thought. You aren't asking me. I'm telling you.
He is to go.
We have a date for the trial, and he is set upon it, Mr. Carton. A matter of honour, he says, and... Who are we to say different? I see you are beginning to find tea a comfort and pleasure.
Mrs. Darnay, I find my visits to your sitting room a comfort and pleasure whenever you are kind enough to invite me, but tea, if we are to be honest...
It is a good drink, though.
I think you mean it is not an alcoholic drink.
Well, is that so important? No, I shouldn't ask. It's none of my business.
Then may I ask something which is none of my business either?
I think you would have been a good lawyer if you had ever chosen to follow your profession.
Why do you invite me? Do you think I'm reformable? I've met women who did, and I must tell you they were wrong. And if you believe
that... I do not want to reform you, Mr. Carton.
Do you want to see if I'll ever manage to drink a whole cup without spilling some on my shirt? My hand shakes too much. It'll never happen.
Then you make me laugh, Mr. Carton. Or if you do not, you make me smile, and that can't be a bad thing in this world.
I suppose not.
You also make me sad, Mr. Carton, and angry at the waste of someone... Charles!
Lucy, my sweet woman. Ah! Carton, here you are, indulging your passion for tea.
A great English invention, Darnay. I hear you are to travel to France.
My wife mentioned that to you.
I mentioned my concerns, dear.
And I have good news.
You're not going?
I am going, in the company of our friend, Lorry, as solid a man as anyone could wish. He assures me I shall be safe behind the walls of Tellson's.
As safe as anyone, but the news... The news from Paris makes me wonder if anyone at all is safe.
I am intruding. I will say goodbye. Mr. Darnay, I wonder if you would see me to the door.
If you wish. Excuse me, Lucy.
Mrs. Darnay, your servant, ma'am. Danny, you may remember a certain occasion a year ago when I was drunk in your company.
Yes, I do recall that day. And I'm aware that I owe you a debt for what went before. If not for...
the fact I couldn't hold my drink.
I have no doubt you can hold your drink, Carden. After all, you've had enough practice. And I've no doubt that drunk or sober, you say exactly what you intend to say.
You do not like me, I see.
I'm not so clever as you, but I'm not a fool, and I see what I see.
You can't believe...
I believe you are an honourable man in these matters.
Then believe this, Darnay. If I can be of any use to Mrs. Darnay or yourself, call on me.
Well, I can't imagine...
You are going into the arena and it is full of wild animals. You don't negotiate with lions. Well, if the need should arise, I'm not your Mr. Lorry, but... goodbye, Darnay.
I'm sorry, my love, but somehow I can't quite like your Mr. Carden.
He is not mine, Charles.
And neither is my business any of his.
What do you mean?
I think perhaps you are too free with private matters.
My concern and care for you is nothing to be ashamed of, Charles.
Well, even so, I wonder perhaps if you are too kind to him.
I think he is a good man. No, he was a good man once, and... he makes me laugh.
And I do not. I only mean that this information, this journey...
You mean you don't trust me?
I mean, my sweet Lucy, I would do anything to get out of this journey. Except, you see, Gabelle, our old steward, was kind to me after my mother died. The only one in that place who was. And for that, oh, I don't want to leave you, and yet I must, and it is... tearing me apart. And that is why I am acting like a fool and a bear.
I love you for it, Charles. Nothing could ever stop me loving you, and if you must, you must. Are you sure you meant bear?
Very little to be said for the sea, in my opinion.
It's taking me home. And yet, it's taking me from home. Can you see the harbour? Does it look any different?
Your eyes are better than mine. Too long in the counting house.
Different flags flying. It's hard to know.
We'll know soon enough.
Everything the same, but...
not the same at all. We should, I think, proceed with caution.
A banker's caution.
But you, stop there. Do you have papers?
Yes, of course. We have just landed.
So? Lorry, you are English?
I am English, and I am on business for Tellson's Bank in Paris. There will be a coach waiting for us.
Very well. And you... are not English.
I live in England.
That's not what I asked.
Yes, I am French. I have come in regard to this man to a letter, a plea for help. I have renounced my title and my property. I support the ideals of people, the citizens of France.
But you are still an emigrant?
I have come back.
You have come back. Very well. I shall mark your papers. You may proceed. Let him through. Let him pass.
They ride on through a countryside which is the same, and yet not. As if one picture has been laid upon its duplicate, just a touch out of alignment. So every skyline, every town gate, every man, woman and child they pass is somehow subtly different too. Is there a feeling of something recalled to life after centuries of confinement and repression?
I've made this journey 20 times in my life, but I thought that when I came to fetch my old friend, to recall him to life, it would be the last.
I fear that I'm a danger to you, Mr. Lorry. It's my papers that interest them and hold us up.
No, it doesn't matter. We'll reach Paris sooner or later, and I'll walk into Tellson's office and find the currency will be higher or lower against the pound. That is all.
I think it may be easier for you to walk out of Tellson's office than it will be for me to walk out of Paris without proving my
What was that song the child was singing at the harbour?
Song? I don't recall any. No, I don't recall. Some child's ditty. Nothing much.
Nothing much.
Driver, can you take the cases inside?
You'll stay here tonight, Charles.
Well, if you don't mind.
Not at all. I imagine you'll try and see your friend tomorrow.
Oh, I hope so. He's being held in La Force.
Damned gloomy place.
Oh, musty. Damp.
Hasn't been opened since the first days of the revolution. Our clerks are waiting at home for my word. We'll have things up and going in no time.
You know, this is my old kingdom.
Before?
Before. Can I suggest we see if any of the rooms on the top floor are habitable, then go and get ourselves a good supper. Tomorrow we start work. What is that damn noise?
Grates on the nerve. Can you see? Mr. Lorry?
It's a grindstone. Big one. Two men turning it and they're sharpening swords, knives.
Who?
Half the district are lining up. Butchers, knives, rapiers, scythes, bill hooks, sabers, kitchen knives. Men and women. Children, too.
Listen. Listen.
Infernal scraping like the devil's...
No, that tune.
God in heaven, Charles. What has this place become?
Excuse me, citizen. Citizen.
Citizen?
If it is possible, I wish to visit a prisoner being held here.
By name of?
Jean-Claude Gabel.
There are many prisoners here, citizen. What is your business with him?
Well, he wrote to me. I have come from England. He has been falsely imprisoned. I hope to discuss his case and present a petition to the magistrates.
Your name?
Darnay. Charles Darnay. I intended...
Wait. Yes. Gabel Jean-Claude.
Do you have any notes on why...
Do I look like I have time for notes? Wait here, citizen. I'll find a warder to escort you to your Gabel.
The prison is full, citizen.
Full enough.
Can all these people be guilty of crimes?
It's not for us to say, citizen.
I suppose not.
Come far?
Far enough. But then we've all come a long way these last few years.
You could say so. Here we are. If you'd like to go in, the interview can begin.
What is this?
Sit, please. The chair there.
Where is Monsieur Gabel? I was supposed to see...
Gabel is dead.
What do you say?
We shall now begin the interview.
You don't understand.
I understand that you have entered the Republic under an assumed name. Please sit down. I can call for help. It would be neither dignified nor comfortable for you if I were to do so.
There must be some mistake.
I've heard that once these last months. I've heard it 1,000 times. Sit down.
There was a letter. I have it here.
And now you are here.
Who sent the letter? Was it a trap? Look, send word to Telson's bank. The manager there can vouch for me. I travelled with...
Ha! Answer the questions. Do not volunteer information. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes.
Are you travelling with papers which give your name as Charles Darnay?
Yes, but you see...
What's your age?
32.
Married?
Yes.
Where married?
In England.
Wife's name?
Lucy Darnay.
Wife's maiden name?
Why on... Lucy Manette.
Her father's name?
Manette, also.
Your father's name.
You know my father's
Your
name.
Your father's name.
Étienne Louis France, Marquis Saint-Evremonde.
Your uncle's name.
Donatien Alphonse François, Marquis Saint-Evremonde.
Your name.
Charles Étienne France, Marquis Saint-Evremonde.
Charles Étienne France, Marquis Saint-Evremonde. You're consigned to the prison of La Force until such time as you are summoned before the Committee of Public Safety to answer for the crimes of your class.
That is insane. I rejected my class. There can be no law that says I must suffer because of what I am.
There is one now. Questioning's over.
Have I no rights?
Emigrants have no rights. So, you married Dr. Manette's daughter.
What, do you know the doctor?
I know him well. My name is Defarge.
Lucy came to your shop to fetch her father. You were a friend.
You have no friends here, Evremonde.
I came with Mr. Jarvis Lorry. You must remember him.
Of course.
But he has come to Paris. He is the new manager at Telson's, for pity's sake. At least tell him I am here. Can you do that?
I will do nothing for you. My duty is to the Republic and the people. You were a fool to come.
I came to help the man Gabelle. That is the truth.
Then it will be a hard truth that leads you to Madame Guillotine.
Will I be held alone?
In solitary confinement, Evremonde.
He thinks, this prisoner of La Force, that he is as one dead. And he stands, motionless for an hour, 2 hours. Then, as if coming to himself, he walks 5 paces. Turn. 4.5 paces. Turn. 5 paces. Turn. 4.5 paces. Turn.
He made shoes.
5 paces. Turn.
He made shoes.
4.5 paces. Turn.
He made shoes.
5 paces.
He made shoes.
Turn.
He made shoes.
4.5 paces. Turn.
He made shoes.
And in another city, another dawn.
Hold up, Engellos! What's your business?
Not with you, Comebrush. I've business with your mistress.
Come the oven tea with me and you'll be 2 stones larger, Mr. Dog Booby. Oh. And you can pack away the beer garden, Joel. We don't want no flash canting in this house. Name?
Jerry Cruncher. You can call me Jerry. What do I call you?
Pross.
Ain't you got a Christian name? No, on second thoughts, it is unlikely.
Looks to me like first thoughts would be enough bother for your noggin. What's your business?
Telson's business.
Telson's?
Bad business, missy. I got a letter.
I ain't missy. Bad. A letter.
Incontrovertibly bad. You better stay close, Pross, because that mortar yours is going to need you.
It's bloody France, isn't it? Bloody Jean Crapaud again. You better come up, Jerry. God help us. Someone for you, sweeteners.
For a moment, it seems as if every mote of dust in the hallway freezes, hangs in the warm afternoon air, waiting. Waiting.
Charles! My Charles!
Thank you, my friend. Here, for your trouble. And send round to Bellamy's for a pie, will you? I know you, I think.
You do, Mr. Carton. Drink, and I've got one. Do you mind if I sit?
It's Telson's man, yes?
My own man, but I works for the bank. I'm a messenger.
You have a message.
Mr. Carton, you were kind enough a few days ago to offer your assistance should the occasion ever arise when...
Of course, you must know it.
As you know, my husband recently went to France.
Yes.
He has been arrested there. A message has come from our friend, Mr. Lorry. Oh. Do you see? I must go to him.
Is this wise?
I have told my daughter this a dozen times, sir, but she heeds me not. And I tell you, she will not listen to you either.
Dr. Manette.
The one drop of comfort I draw from all this is that since she insists on going, she can hardly deny me that right either.
But, Father, you have suffered at their hands.
No, my dear. I have suffered at the same hands as they have.
If you want my advice, as a lawyer, I would say...
Mr. Carton, we want your help and companionship as a friend.
What?
Jerry Cruncher is coming with us at Mr. Lorry's order. Miss Pross would not be left behind.
And if I know the French legal mind, and I do know the French legal mind, we are going to need a brain that can help fathom those depths.
I know English law, some continental from my training, but...
Revolutionary law may be de novo, but it is still law. Will you help us?
Don't like France. Never like France.
I've only ever been here once, Pross.
Did I like it?
No, you didn't.
There you are, then.
I think she has you there, Lucy.
Are we slowing down? Bloody French nags. No puff in them.
I think it's another checkpoint.
Ain't they got nothing better to do than bother honest travellers?
Here we go again. Bayonets and bonnets. Time to do your stuff, Doctor.
Do you think Jerry and Mr. Carson are all right travelling on top?
Don't know about Jerry, but it suits Mr. Bang in the eye.
Jerry?
I prefer to keep my head clear when I'm like to lose it at any bloody moment.
Name of the revolution, present your papers.
Here, citizen. Here, take them.
Manette. I know the name. From the Bastille. You escaped.
I was there for 20 years, citizen. But now I am free. Now we're all free.
Citizen, is there anything we can do to aid your journey? An escort? Food? Wine?
A bottle up here, please, citizen.
It is your friend?
My friend.
Oh, a bottle for the citizen on top. Go in peace.
I don't know how you do it.
It's long practice, Jerry.
Mr. Lorry.
You should not have come, Lucy.
Enough of that, Jack Adams. We're here now.
Jerry, is the door secure?
Tight as a lawyer's fist, Mr. Lorry. But they didn't like it. The Frenchies out there, not when we arrived. Blood in their eyes, there was.
Steady, Jerry. Don't you be scaring my ladybird.
Half this building is a sort of national armory now. From dawn till dusk, they're at it, sharpening.
What is your news, old friend?
No news. Same news, day after day.
No word from Charles.
They keep him secure, alone. I've tried, Lord, how I've tried, but I cannot force a chink in their wall.
And yet we must.
Well, surely if I go to them, they will let me see him.
They have not been bred to mercy and compassion, Lucy.
Poverty and suffering do not on the whole breed nobility. Lorry, do you happen to have anything to drink about the place? I think better with a glass in my hand.
Tellson's has a famous cellar, but will brandy do for now?
Famously, thank you. There is not, I take it, quite anarchy in the streets?
No, order of a sort. The Committee of Public Safety, half a dozen citizens' militias, various parties in contention, the Girondins, the Jacobins. Mm. It's hard to tell. And then there's the crowd. Not anarchy, but sometimes close to it. They'll hang a dog if they think it's a king's dog, and next minute free a princess because they admire her golden hair.
We must find a way into the prison.
That's easy enough. Just go out there and shout, "Long live the king!" You'll find a way in.
And a way out.
Hold your horses. They've stopped grinding. Gone home, have they?
No. They're out there. Just standing, looking at the building.
Do you have any arms, Lorry?
A few muskets, but no, nothing. We must go. Lucy, Miss Pross, Doctor, take them out through the rear and we shall try and stop the crowd.
Unlock the door, Mr. Cruncher.
Manette, what are you doing, man?
He's gone mad again.
You can't go out there, sir.
You're wrong. I'm the only one who can.
You can't milk that pigeon. Ain't to be done.
Of course. The Bastille prisoner. Do you see, Lorry?
My God, Manette, you might do it.
Father, what are you saying?
Speak to them. Ask them to escort you to La Force.
Find out the charges. Anything you can discover, Doctor, may be a help.
I can do it. I will do it.
Then I will come with you, Father.
Over my dead body, sweetness!
It must be me. Everything I suffered then will be to my credit now.
Well, what if they don't know you? What if this is another lot? A stupid lot. I mean, they don't look like scholars.
Mr. Lorry,
unlock the door, Jerry.
Rather you than me, Pilgrim.
Night and darkness, but no sleep for any of them.
Carton?
Over here.
Jerry said you were on the roof.
As good a place as any to enjoy the night. Is there any news?
Nothing.
Drink?
Not for me. I have to work in the morning. The office is busy.
Money is never overthrown in this world.
Do you believe there is another?
Oddly, yes. I have no evidence as to its nature, but if it's anything like this one, it's no great shakes.
And perhaps it's a warning to make the best of what we have. Now, listen.
What am I hearing?
It's what you're not hearing. The church bells of Paris striking their hours. They've all been silenced by the voice of reason. Or melted down to make cannon for the revolution. Dance, dance the Carmagnola. And make the roar. Dance, dance the Carmagnola, and we'll make the cannon roar.
What do you think, Lorry? You know France, the city, as it was and as it is. Will we save him?
If love can save him, then Lucy will do it.
And if it can't?
I think I will have that drink after all.
How long now?
20 minutes since the last time you asked, sweetness. Are you going to eat anything today? It's long past your lunchtime.
I couldn't. Oh, Pross... Why doesn't something happen?
Well, it's bloody France, isn't it?
Is Mr. Lorry...
in the business all like he was the last time he was, and the time before that. And it's all fiddler's money anyway. Oh, I hates this, I do's. But I hate seeing you like this even more, sweetness.
We must endure, Pross. It's what we do.
We?
Women.
Then it's obvious you never saw my sister Betty.
Sister?
Bare-knuckle Betty Pross, champion of the female fancy. It's true she stood for 20 with Fanny Dempster at Dulwich in 75.
I thought your brother was the boxer.
Tom taught her everything she knew, till she was better than he was. Course he couldn't stand for that, which is why I reckon he went off like a dust hill after the Broughton match.
Oh, brother. Yes?
There's news. Quick, come to my office.
Is he?
He lives. Quick. Do you remember Monsieur Defarge from the wine shop?
Of course. You were the friend of my father, and I honour you for it.
Just so, you remember my wife?
Madame, I am in your debt too.
Just so, madame.
You have news?
I've seen your father.
He is.
At the prison now. When he found they had no doctor, he offered his service to all who needed him. I'm glad to see him recovered. He is why I'm here. He asked me to bring a note from your husband to this place. I would not have done so for any other man.
Here is the note, Madame Lucy. Oh, come, come. You should not cry. Your husband is alive. He has his health.
I cry from happiness. Oh, bless you. Bless you, madame. His wife blesses you 100 times.
Oh.
Therese?
His wife and the mother of his child. It is so, is it not, madame? You are with child.
I have told no one yet.
Lucy.
Good Lord.
What's she saying? What's she saying? Bloody language.
I'm going to be a mother, Pross.
Oh, dear.
Oh. Well, well, there is another.
But that's a way to fire a gun without telling a body what's a-coming.
Well, here, let me help you, Pross. Oh.
Madame, for my sake.
Leave off.
For our I'm unborn fine. Child's sake. Do all you can for my husband. As a woman, you must know how I feel.
Ah, my dear. I glory in your feelings. For now there are three of you. And three is so much better than two.
What's she saying? What's she saying?
We must go. Thérèse.
Thank you, friend Defarge. Madame.
If only life were like art, Dr. Manette would return that very night in triumph with a young father-to-be. But it is not so. It is never so. The gods that rule us are capricious and cruel, though sometimes they allow the shutter to stand ajar and a thin shaft of sunlight to pass through and fall upon a stone wall.
Charles!
Doctor! Did the message...
It was delivered. I believe Defarge can be trusted.
He is my jailer.
He is also my friend. He will arrange for notes to pass.
You must not take any risks.
I'll try and find out what the charges are and how best to answer them.
There is no answer.
Please, my boy, trust your friends. We can help you.
There is no help for me, sir. I am lost. The best you can do is get Lucy out of this dreadful place.
You must not abandon hope. I know how dangerous that can be.
I hear them every day, taking the condemned to the guillotine, and each of them is no more or less guilty than I am. Hope is a dream.
Then here is something that is not a dream. You are to be a father. I survived 18 years for a child I never saw. You will survive too, my boy, for a child who will be born and will grow under your eyes.
A child? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lucy, she must.
She will stand by her husband, you know that. And you, Charles, must stand like the man I know you to be and face the future with courage. We have advice, and we will find a way.
God bless you, Doctor. One thing, only one thing I ask.
Go on.
From my cell window, I can see to the corner of the street opposite. I think it is a carpenter. If Lucy could pass by there after the meal they feed us at midday, if I could see her there.
If it can be done, it will be done. I swear it. Now, I must go. Courage, Charles. Always courage.
Our child. Together we can hope again. And stand against this world.
You are sure this is how the charge will be framed?
It is. I have seen the notes, hasty as they are. These courts are getting through 100 cases a day.
There's no justice to be seen, other than the justice of the mob.
I fear for the consequences.
Gentlemen. Our job is not to regret the situation. It's to use it somehow to our advantage.
God knows how.
We'll find a way. It is vital, in the meantime, that our friend keep his spirits up. I have a feeling that his manner, his spirit, will be decisive in this case.
I have asked my daughter to walk every day in a certain place under a certain window. She will not see him, but he may see her.
Will she be safe?
With Jerry to watch over her, as safe as she can be.
So, let's get to work. Pour the wine, will you, Laurie, old man? I think better.
Yeah, with a full glass in your hand.
Good day, citizeness.
Good day, citizen.
Walking here again, citizeness.
As you see.
You like this place?
It is good enough, citizen.
You must like it, citizeness, since you've come every day for, what is it now, a month or more?
I don't know, citizen. I haven't been counting.
Ah, like me, then. I never count. I just soar on and provide the lengths of wood the convention asks for. There. I call it my little guillotine. I work away and off they come. Sometimes wonder if I should change my job. Start working for the big knife, eh? Lots of pretty heads fall in there, eh, citizeness? Pretty heads with golden hair and blue eyes and little white necks. You know, they say you can still see for 10 seconds after the cut. when the executioner looks into your eyes, eh? Not upsetting you, am I, my pretty?
Not anymore.
Jerry, you should not. Put him down, please.
With pleasure.
There will be trouble. I must walk here, and now he'll make...
This is your last walk. Mr. Lorry told me to tell you it's tomorrow. They try him tomorrow. First thing.
Every way seems blocked to us.
There's no consistency here. Only the mob.
Then ex facie, the mob must be consistent.
What are you saying, Carton?
It was under our noses all along. You told us yourself, Doctor, the law can't save him. But you can. Because you are what the law is about. Redress for a nation's wrongs. Your story, your person, your white hair, everything about you says France and revolution as much as Marianne, with her spear and her cap on the barricades of liberty. That is your job at tomorrow's tribunal.
Will you be with us in court?
No. An English lawyer and a stranger is the last thing you need. From here on, it's all up to you, gentlemen.
This tribunal will come to order. May I remind you, citizens, of the principle under which we sit. If the spring of popular government in time of peace is virtue, the springs of popular government in a revolution are at once virtue and terror. Virtue, without which terror is fatal. Terror, without which virtue is powerless. We will proceed to the first case. Charles St. Evremond, called Darnay. Stand and face your accusers.
Who are my accusers? Where are they?
The people of France!
What is the accusation?
That, as an émigré, your life is forfeit to the Republic under the decree dated 19 Thermidor, year 1 of the Revolution.
Yes.
All émigrants are banished from this Republic under pain of death.
Yes. I must point out with respect that this law was passed by the Convention after I arrived in France.
It is of no matter.
How can that be? It is not natural justice, I say.
You might equally ask, how can this Court of the People be... Your natural justice, St. Evremond, kept those very people ground into the dirt for centuries. But we have risen, thrown off the chains of tyranny. We have achieved the impossible, and nothing is beyond us now.
Not so good, my friend.
Mr. Carton said it would be so. It is only a marker.
How do you answer the charge, St. Evremond?
I am not guilty.
Is it not true you have lived many years in England, the sworn enemy of liberty?
It is true.
Then how are you not an emigrant?
Not within the sense and spirit of the law.
How so?
Because I voluntarily relinquished a title, St. Evremond, that was shameful in my eyes, and gave up the property and the income before the law was passed. It was my own desire, as it was my desire to live in England and earn my bread there, and not in any way live off the overburdened citizens of France.
But you married in England?
Yes, to a French woman.
By birth?
Yes.
Her name and family?
Here we go.
Lucy Manette, daughter of Dr. Manette, once the Bastille prisoner, now the good physician of La Force, who is known by many in this courtroom, who has worked with the sick of this city without stinting his time or his effort.
Why did you return to France?
To try and save the life of a citizen. It could not be done. But even so, surely it is no crime under this great republic to help a brother in need.
Can anyone support your story?
The same good Dr. Manette.
Citizen doctor, will you stand before the committee?
I will.
Citizens, please. Citizens. Please do not interrupt the process. We have a heavy schedule. Citizen Doctor, you know St. Evremond?
I know Charles Darnay, the husband of my daughter, the friend of my days, exiled in England after I escaped the prison of the Bastille, where I suffered unjustly for 20 years. He was tried for his life by the English courts as a supporter of the American Revolution. Here are the records of that very trial when perfidious England tried to destroy a friend of freedom.
Yeah!
I know this man, and I know he is a French patriot with a heart as true as my own. I urge you, brothers and sisters, set him free.
There it is before us. One of those extraordinary moments when the popular will turns top to tail and expresses its desire. The accused is a friend of the good doctor. He is a friend of ours, a friend of the United States, a friend of ours, the enemy of England, doubly a friend of ours. Then let him go free, and woe betide the judge who does not obey the people's will in these people's times.
How does the court vote?
Freedom!
Charles, my dear love.
Oh, I've missed you.
Our baby.
Our baby. Oh, I'm so happy. So happy. Father, you saved him.
Sir, you gave me hope. You gave me faith. And now you have given me life again.
I did what I could. But I could not have done it without our friends.
Mr. Lorry, I am forever in your debt.
Oh, where is Mr. Carton? He should be here.
Carton? Here.
I think he swallowed a hair sweetness.
Russ?
He's mould. Floating his boat in 10 gallon of Mr. Lorry's fine French vinegar.
Well, I say good luck. Jerry?
I don't know. Oh, I'll get this.
Defarge, madame. Defarge, madame. What do you do here? Come in. You're welcome. Without your help...
Doctor, you must stand back. Mr. Lorry, too.
What did you say?
I have a warrant for the arrest of Charles Saint-Evremond, also known as Darnay. New evidence has...
No, it cannot be.
Doctor, I'm sorry, but I must obey the Republic, as must we all. The warrant... New evidence...
New evidence has arisen. Two witnesses have come forward to denounce Saint-Evremond and call upon him to answer for an ancient and monstrous crime.
This is wrong. You cannot!
No. What are they saying? What's happening?
Who are these witnesses? What do they say?
I am the first. The other is a secret witness. His evidence will be revealed in court. Saint-Evremond, will you come with us voluntarily? Or do we have to drag you back to your prison?
You knew, damn you, woman. You knew this all the time. It was a game for you. Until now.
But now, Marquis Saint-Evremond, the game is over. And all accounts are to be finally settled.
In A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens, Lucy is played by Lydia Wilson. Carton by Paul Reddy. Charles Darnay by Andrew Scott. Miss Pross by Alison Steadman. Dr. Manette by Carl Johnson. And Jarvis Lorry by Jonathan Coy. Defarge is James Lely. Madame Defarge, Tracy Wiles. And Jerry, Carl Prekop. Charles Dickens is Robert Lindsay. And other parts are played by Adam Billington, Paul Moriarty, and Ricky Lawton. The music is by Leonard Bush. A Tale of Two Cities is dramatized by Mike Walker and directed by Jeremy Mortimer and Jessica Drumgoole.